welcome, folks, to another episode of Who's Ghost Stories. I apologize. This season, I have not introduced my two co-hosts. So, of course, I am Andrew Huzar from Huzar Ranking Readings. We have my research expert, Sean, and Professor Alex Wheaton. So I apologize. If you did not watch season one at all and you're just sitting here like, who are these two guys? I apologize. That's on me. But this is a special twofer episode. So this one may be a little longer.
Roads of Buffalo.
Yeah.
Roads of Buffalo.
Yeah, the roads of Buffalo. We've got
Buffalo Trail.
Buffalo Roads.
Buffalo Roads. That's the title. Oh, God. The Curse of Buffalo Roads. We're going to start off with Delaware Road, and then
pivot to Holland Road,
a.k.a. Pigman Road, which both are just outside Buffalo, not really in Buffalo, but anything within like a 30-mile radius of Buffalo, I feel like it's pivoted into Buffalo.
Yeah.
No, like, because, yeah, this is 30 miles northeast of Buffalo, and then
Angola,
this Angola.
Like right there.
Yeah.
You keep hitting Angola, you know you're just about Buffalo.
So we're going to say this is haunted Buffalo, but it's actually, both are actually outside of Buffalo. From what we've learned, Buffalo has a lot of different haunted places, so we may have a lot of future episodes on Buffalo and the Buffalo areas, but we're going to go ahead. We're going to get started with Delaware Road. Sean, take us in.
So Delaware Road is located in the town of Clarence Center, which is approximately 30 miles northeast of Buffalo, New York. This is said to be the most haunted road in Buffalo. Clarence Center was founded in 1823 and was originally named Vantine's Corners. Delaware Road at night is pitch black. The road has no artificial lighting from streetlights, and this is where the eerie encounters begin. The most prevalent story is that of an old man carrying a lantern. The old man is said to sometimes be accompanied by the ghost of a little girl.
Another popular story is the sight of a mysterious beast. The creature is said to be a hybrid of a dog and a horse that growls at people when they approach, as well as constant appearances of orbs and shadowy figures, as well as cloaked figures walking in the woods.
This area sounds like a hot spot for supernatural activity, but please do be careful when visiting this location. Recently, two young teens were driving at excessive speeds and tragically lost their lives in a crash. So, as we've said numerous times before, be cautious and careful if you decide to go here.
Yeah, and as we've done like with all of our New York travels, we did our best to map out the area and see exactly what it was. But like, if you're unsure of an area, like we were with where Gutelberg Cemetery and Road was actually at, we were very careful driving down that road, and even we did our best to be careful on the road to Chiquin's Pond.
Right.
So, I mean, make sure you're doing as many precautions as you can, research the area, and at the very least, drive safe.
Yeah.
But this sounds like almost like a typical haunted road, almost not a lady in white situation, but you've got the man with the lantern walking up and down the road, which could be people who were killed on the road, residual energy. They could almost be some sort of like guardian or reaper taking souls.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, to the next place.
I want to know about this dog horse. Like, laughing and jokes aside, like, I am such a, like, this, the supernatural is one of my passions, obviously, because that's why I'm here.
Right.
But the place that I really thrive is in cryptids and cryptozoology. And it's like, in all my cryptozoology that I've looked into over the years, dog horse hybrid is not one that you come across.
Right.
I'm
trying to picture it. It almost sounds like a chupacabra kind of thing.
It has to be some kind of large. I think that's the only reason that the horse is part of it is its size.
Right.
And my first thought was like, is this a hyena just running around Delaware Road in Buffalo, New York?
Or is it a dog-sized horse and it's just a pony?
Like, there's a lot of questions to this. And the fact that it's a mysterious beast. Like,
yes.
I personally, if we were to visit this location, that's for me what I am purposely looking for is I want to see this weird dog horse hybrid.
And like, what's interesting too is like nothing said that it was a ghost animal. Like with the Erie Cemetery, the ghost dog, the black dog, Gudelberg's, hellhounds. Nothing ever mentioned that this was a ghost or a hellhound. It was just
a weird, mysterious creature.
Yeah, they describe it as a real physical animal, which
why I put it under cryptids instead of
raises so many more questions as to what's out there off of Delaware Road. It could just be a giant dog or a wolf or a coyote. But the fact
some Great Danes look like horses.
Yeah. and that's why I'm like, what exactly?
Which
is
funny because for us, we are you know. 4 for 4 on our places where there's black dogs or hellhounds. There's always a dog that runs up to us.
We would find a dog in this area, whether it's the one that's talked about in legends or not.
Yeah.
So of course, like they always talk about, like when the people do visit this area, like their electronics don't work, flashlights go in and out.
You've never experienced that before.
Lots of problems like that.
Batteries
just drained.
One thing, so like it's tough because there's not like a historical legend backing that I could find. So a lot of like the stuff I found was like people talking about their experiences there. And the one thing that was interesting, so Delaware Road was actually one of my places originally on the New York stop list because it's not far from the places we were at. But I couldn't find enough about that area to justify taking a safe trip out. And one of the reasons why was this comment that I originally found, the pitch black street, no street lights, like you mentioned, especially around fall. I did not think that was going to be a good idea, but this person mentions hearing what sounded like a dog howling and growling, but there aren't really any homes around.
Right.
And like they were in the middle of the street and the growling was coming from just off the road. So it was
something in the woods.
Yeah. And if there's not many homes around, this just sounds like just a random like side road through the woods. Like it didn't sound like a good place to go. But it definitely lends more credibility to that being like a real animal that people have been seeing as opposed to it being a ghost or a hellhound.
Right.
Especially in this one, they say, like, they didn't get to get a good look at it or anything, but judging from the way it was moving through the bushes and the way the leaves were moving, it was either a giant dog or some sort of dog hybrid. And it's rumored that in the woods off the street, KKK groups used to hold their rituals there. And from a few of the comments that I read, that the spirit walking the streets is thought to have been either a member of the KKK who ended up killing himself, or it is one of the deputies that was trying to stop the KKK that was killed in the line of duty, which that would be more to the ferryman.
Right.
If he died there trying to do his job and stop the evil and the bad guys, he would constantly be traversing that road now.
And I do like that in a, you know, completely dark, and like I said, there's no artificial light there. Mm. There are no street lights. There are no house lights. Him literally being a beacon in the dark.
Yeah.
Lends more to him being a positive energy than something that's dark or malevolent.
No. And like, nothing that I could find mentioned anyone ever being really afraid of him or him coming off as fearful. The only things people have really been afraid of is like the area itself with the animal or temperature changes, things like that, which if there really were cult or KKK rituals going on, could definitely taint that area and the energy around it. But I definitely think that spirit is definitely an okay one, definitely a positive one, probably some sort of beacon there. It'd be interesting to, like, find out more about that girl that's with him. Like, was that a family member? Was that somebody he was trying to save? Is that just another ferryman?
But right.
There's not much info about it, so it makes it difficult to even come up with, like, theories. But I definitely don't think that they're bad.
No.
I think any fear comes with whatever animal is running around out there, whether it is something normal that nobody can just get a good look at, or if it is some crazy cryptid that has made its home in this area. If we went there, what would you expect to happen?
It depends. If we are there during daylight, I feel like we would feel maybe energy's presence, maybe an orb or two. At night, that's the problem. We don't generally do the at night things because we don't want to travel at late night. Plus, a lot of places that we visit, not necessarily legal being there after dusk.
And those places obviously not traveler friendly.
Right.
Once the sun goes down.
So, I mean, I feel like if we were there at night, we would definitely see more orbs, which would lead into our belief that they're orbs, because we don't use flash. We just kind of take the pictures. So,
I agree. And then it would be interesting to see. It would be another 1 in 1,000th chance. But, like, it would be interesting to see, like, if there were multiple orbs, if they were close to the apparition that walks the road.
Right.
If they were attracted to him and that's what he was. But I agree. Like, I think if we went there in the daytime, it would almost be, like, when we were at the gorge, like, you'd feel the energy from nature. If there was anything bad, it might be, like, when we were at the Fairview Potter's Field, where the energy just feels off.
Mm-hmm.
And some orbs, but I don't think we would experience a whole lot. It would be cool to witness this creature, but it really sounds like it only comes out at night. Or at least that's when the recorded instances of, which
would make sense.
Yeah.
Because if there's traffic during the day, it's not going to want to be out.
In most animals, they do, especially predators, they're doing their hunting either at dawn or dusk. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be out in the middle of the day prowling. It could also, it doesn't get talked much about up in this area, but it could also be something like a cougar or a panther up here. They're not as common as they used to be, but, you know, Penn State's not called the Nittany Lions for nothing.
Right.
There are mountain lions and bobcats up in the area, so it could even be a mountain lion.
Right.
And that would be about, I wouldn't say horse size, but at least if you're looking at something quickly and a mountain lion starting around, I'd be like, that's a really big dog horse thing and get the hell out of town.
Especially if it's growling at you.
Yeah. Like, what about you, Alex? Do you have any other ideas as to what our dog, horse, panther could be?
So I've been reading a bunch of, that's what I was looking at, was I was specifically looking at comments from people that have visited there, and they do talk a little bit about this weird creature, but they also talk a lot about, you know, different ghosts and the KKK activity and all that other stuff that we've been talking about this whole time. The consistent thing is that the people from the area that visit it, they visit both during the daytime and at night, and they all kind of talk about the same thing, that there's like a heavy feeling. Several people said that they felt depressed while they were there. For an unexplained reason, they feel uncomfortable, feel like they're being watched. A couple people said that they went walking in the woods and it was silent. And anyone that knows anything about woods is, if it's silent, that's not a good sign. That is danger.
Something's hunting.
Yeah. So it's interesting, as Sean kind of jokingly said, chupacabra, but there was someone who was from Texas that was living up here that compared it to a chupacabra. And I definitely have to a little bit side with Andrew with, you know, mountain lion. It definitely is large enough to look like some kind of large dog-like thing. The only difference is the faces are very different. Like,
right.
It's very feline versus canine. Like, there is a distinct difference in those two. So I want it. I want to believe it's a mountain lion. But there's enough anecdotal evidence.
Yeah.
There's enough anecdotal evidence that I want to look a little bit more into that part of it.
And just see if any creatures match that general description.
Yeah. It's so the other thing that I saw across the board is a lot of people not really confirming the horse part. Dog part, yes. Large dog, yes. But even people that said horse said, like, dog, horse, something else. So
whatever it is very large, but it has mostly dog features.
Yeah, which makes me think of a couple things off the top of my head.
Right.
Direwolf definitely happens to be one of those things
because
they are terrifying. But, yeah, no, that I – this is a place that the other thing is that it is – not private property.
Right.
I can actually, like, this is not a private property thing, so it's not like we are trespassing.
Correct.
If we visited this place. But I anticipate, instead of, like, the Gudgeonville Bridge, I imagine it's going to be closer in feeling to either the Almshouse or Gutelberg. I imagine that despite being an open road, I imagine it's going to be more
claustrophobic.
Yeah,
I can see that. And, like, the only other animal I thought, because, like, I'm putting myself in those shoes, like, at nighttime, something growling, something running around quickly. The only other thing I could think of that would be that size, but again, the face doesn't match up, would be specifically a black bear, because they're smaller and skinnier than others.
Yeah.
But that face, it's close to a dog-like, but, like, you still wouldn't look at a black bear and be like, oh, that's a dog type thing. So, I mean,
if you've never seen a dog before, maybe.
The snout. You would see the snout and be like, that's a big dog.
Yeah.
The one thing that's interesting, and, like, I don't know how I didn't read it before. Now, this is an old comment, so I don't even know if it's there anymore. But it would be cool if we did check out the road to stop at this place. The entrance on the road actually has a small bar.
Yes. I kept seeing that. Even in more recent comments from, like, 2019.
And people start feeling uneasy about
the bar,
there.
Yeah.
Almost like it's, like, the gateway into whatever is there. So, I mean, that would be a cool stop on the road.
Might be the starting point.
Yeah. I don't know if it historically it ties in everything or just that it's on the road and, like, the first stop. But that is interesting to me. And the first thing that popped into my mind was the bar at the crossroads in Supernatural every time they were there.
Yep.
Was like, it was like the marker or the entryway. So if we do make a trip to Delaware Road anytime, I feel like we would have to at least stop into the bar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But we will move into Pigment Road, Holland Road in Angola, New York. Sean, take us in.
The Legend of the Angola Pigman takes place in Angola, New York, off of Holland Road. Angola, New York, previously Evans Station, was incorporated in 1873 and is a village of the town of Evans. Angola is a small village encompassing approximately 1 square mile in size. The small village is probably most infamous for being the site of the Angola Horror. The Angola Horror occurred December 18, 1867, where a train derailed and crashed into Big Sister Creek. 49 passengers perished, and an additional 40 were injured. Among the injured was John D. Rockefeller. Legend has it that the crash was caused by two young boys removing railroad ties to repair a fence. One of these boys was said to be one Loring Derricks.
Loring Derricks would go on to get married and settle down at a home on Holland Road. He and his wife would go on to have a son named William Derricks. William was born with facial deformities of a split nose and a cleft lip. The boy was said to have a pig-like appearance. William was an outsider due to his appearance, but had many odd jobs from being a butcher's assistant to working at the local dump. William would also become a hoarder, and as a way to deter trespassers, would put pig heads on stakes in his yards. Tragically, the Derricks home would burn down on Halloween night in 1973, but the body of William was not found in the fire.
The legend of the Pig Man would involve both stockings and, in one particular legend, murder. The Pig Man was said to appear out of nowhere and pound on the windows of cars parked along Holland Road. The most gruesome tale, which has since become the plot of a movie, involves three teenage boys trespassing at the home of the Pig Man, being beheaded and having their heads placed on stakes as a permanent reminder of what happens when you cross the Pig Man. The Pig Man is an interesting blend of fact and fiction that makes for an eerie and believable tale to keep you on the edge of your seat if you ever find yourself driving along Holland Road.
Can you hand me the ebook of it? I just want to pull up the last couple of pages here.
The ebook.
So there is an ebook that somebody put together the facts and fictions of it.
And it's pretty much like a timeline. Like, it literally goes through everything in detail.
I'll try to put a link to it in the description. I emailed the person that wrote it and owns the website if I could, but their email came back as not being deliverable, which I feel like in this case is almost a more creepier sign. Because the email is literally pigmanderricks at yahoo.com. So,
interesting.
So before,
did you try Gmail?
I should have. Before diving into what we think, I do just want to read through. They have a list of the phenomena people report from Holland Road. And then we'll dive into the area because the layout's interesting as well. So people have reported being followed by a vehicle, which either comes from nowhere or disappears into thin air, usually occurring when entering or exiting one or both of the bridges. A single or dual lights shining from the woods are coming straight at them on the road, which vanishes. Cries, screams, or squeals coming from the woods. Fires in the woods or on the road itself that extinguish unexpectedly. Shadow figures on the bridges, along the roads, alongside the bridges, in the woods, on the roadway, both lying on or to the side of the road, and some walking before vanishing. Sightings of Pigman himself doing various things from walking, driving, picking up trash, chopping trees, and in some instances flagging down your vehicle to stop. People that definitely seem out of place. Twin girls playing, walking or riding bikes. A tall, thin man with a hat walking with a clipboard who seems to stop every few steps and watch as you pass. A very young boy alone walking along the road with a stick or fishing pole. A large black dog that sits on the side of the road. Let's skip that part. There's a bunch of things about the dog. Trains. Really weird stuff. Although trains passing the bridges here are very common, the more uncommon things experienced is seeing a train speeding over the overpass as you enter. As soon as your back is turned to it and you exit the other side of the tunnel, it is completely stopped on the bridge or completely gone. People walking as well have reported this. They would see the train speeding 1 second, then see it standing completely still the next. The opposite of a standing train in a flash speeding down the tracks has also been reported. Another less common experience is seeing a person jump from an open rail car or from the top of a rail car as it passes over the bridge. The falling or jumping off the train experience was recently discovered to actually have taken place as Mr. Gibbons of Elm Street, Oil City, was fatally injured by a fall from a train near Angola, New York. Often explainable, and sometimes not, various animals that just seem to dart in front of your vehicle out of nowhere for no apparent reason. Many can't be identified or just seem strange for the area or have an unexpected speed. Horns. Yes, before you enter either bridge, it is a good idea to honk your horn a few times to warn any oncoming cars of your presence. The strange part is sometimes you hear a response and wait, and wait, and nothing comes. Sometimes the response you get is from an oncoming train overhead, which never shows up. When in the tunnel, as the story goes, the lucky number is 13.
I do want to interrupt you, but as soon as you said that, there was a train horn outside.
Awesome. Perfect timing.
We are close to train tracks, yeah. So...
It is said, if you honk your horn 13 times while traveling through the tunnel, you are 13 times more likely to have a pigman experience.
Winter experience. How is that lucky?
Perhaps these occur due to the wreck of the Dakota, or perhaps just because of the season, but footprints in the snow along the road coming and going from the woods and the railroad are quite frequent in the winter. And, of course, electronics don't work. GPS signals go out.
But how much data does it use?
Only to get the map.
Reports that radios have actually changed stations passing under the bridges have been reported. And as strange as the sound, many people actually receive phone calls, wrong numbers, a disproportionate amount when traveling between the bridges, usually coming from Pennsylvania phone numbers.
Interesting.
That is interesting. So, I have a question. The Derek's home burned down 1973. How old was William?
He was, I think, middle-aged?
Was
an adult?
I think he was an adult, but I think he was later in his years.
He would have to be,
because
if his father was a kid in 1867.
Right.
Like, I was trying to think, like, statistically speaking, how old would William be at
73, probably late 50s, early 60s. I know they show pictures of him in the ebook. About how old he was. What's worse is apparently they did find a body in the house, but it was the body of an 11-year-old thought to have been his son, William Jr., I believe his name was.
Yeah.
What's even more interesting, bringing up the thing about there being fires on the road, so that house burned down in 73. There was only one other house on the road across the street, and I believe that house burned down in 76, so like 3 years later. So there were no longer houses on the road, and they both burned down due to fire.
That's suspicious. I have a follow-up question now. Who fell in love with William, or who had a child with William?
Her name was mentioned in there. Because she... I don't think that she died in the fire. I think she died before.
Yeah, because I think it was just William and his son living in the house when it burnt down.
And it was rumored that they had two twin daughters. They didn't find their bodies in the fire. Or if they did, they weren't recognizable as human remains.
And, like, the road to the area it gets repaired, but usually it's left in disrepair for long periods of time. And so there was only like two houses or so in the area, and Williams was one of them.
And then the other one burned down.
Yeah. And it was a big party area too. You know, that's where teens would go and have their outdoor keggers, make out points, because this road was just never really frequented. So, I mean, there was always a lot of activity. And he was a bit off his rocker, so putting up the pig heads.
Right.
If you're having a party out there and you see this house that just has rows of pig's heads on stakes, you're going to start to think that this guy's a little bit of a murderer or a psychopath or something. And I mean,
is probably the point he wants to get across.
Yeah, I imagine that also having a deformity at this time, like, you are ostracized from society. You're going to put that kind of...
Well, and even going back, the family had kind of always been ostracized because, you know, his father was blamed for, you know, the angle of horror.
Which, like Sean said, had Rockefeller on the trip. Well,
yeah.
Rockefeller was almost there. There were actually...
he was on the train.
Okay. And then there were three people from Erie on the train, too.
Yeah. Because it was going from Cleveland to, I think it might have been, I can't remember where it was going. It might have been Buffalo.
So, I mean, like, it's interesting, like, hearing list of phenomena that, like, Pennsylvania would be the numbers that people are getting wrong calls from. Right. If three people from the train were specifically from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, and I did read, I think it's in the ebook that William's mother was also ostracized because her parents were first cousins.
Yep, interbreeding.
Which is what is believed to be the cause of the deformity.
Yeah. And like, by the way, photo removed at family's request. Of William.
Interesting too is when
I got it digitally on my phone.
The baby William was first born. The like midwife who helped deliver him was so disgusted that like she quit the thing entirely. Like, so I mean, you've got these rumors already from a family that's already looked down upon and ostracized, and now you've got their midwife talking about how they've got a deformed child,
right,
that has sent her screaming to the hills. So nothing was ever nice around William. And like his jobs, he became friends with the butcher.
Ooh.
Got the butcher's job.
Hold on. Five years back from 1918. So 1913 would have been when William was born. Falling back the path.
So yeah.
Doing the math.
In 73 he would have been 60.
There we go.
They do show his face in his later years.
And
but the fact that his body has never been found.
Yeah.
And like I saw like local legends and rumors were that he ran off into the woods. Especially because the twin daughters' bodies weren't found. And he lived out his time like in a shack in the woods. And that's where the legend comes from of Pigman emerging from the woods.
Right.
Obviously, there's no way to
confirm
that at all.
He was part of a oddity show.
Yeah. So that was the other thing, too.
P.T. Barnum and Ripley.
Like when I think it was around the time of his after his house had burned down. What occurred is the people from his circus troupe, like gypsies and people with other deformities, came to pay their respects. But like a good portion of them stayed in the woods.
Yeah.
And again, if you're going out to this spot to have a party and you're seeing at the time what's known as like a circus freak coming out of the woods.
Yeah, his wife passed away in 66, Mildred.
So, like, the twin girls, definitely rumored to have been his twin girls. Any ghosts of a young boy. I don't know if I've heard many. I mean, obviously, like, all the tales are like, Pigman will come knock on your door. Pigman will come to you. But, like, there's not many things of, like, the ghost of Pigman hanging around. It's more a real physical Pigman is coming after you.
Some of the pictures.
Poor man.
Yeah. He.
Mildred Crabtree.
Yep.
His cousin.
So you've got the Angola Horror, which is this horrible train wreck. And from what I, like, read about it, like, people were, like, burning alive, essentially, too.
Yeah.
Like, things were catching fire, and it was not, I mean, there's no such thing as, like, a pretty train death, but it was not a quick collision. The train derailed.
Yeah. Off the truss, basically. Yeah. Crashed into the water. People burning, people drowning.
So, I mean, you've got that. And then underneath that, you've got this man having a terrible life who ended up living on that road.
Yep.
In his house burning down, and he was never in his right frame of mind. So you've got this, like, piece of open land that is really just dripped and tainted with just awful energy. He never had a happy life or a good life. He was ostracized. And, like, his jobs, circus freak, butcher, garbage man. Well, he worked at the dump. I don't think he was a garbage man.
He worked at the dump and told people where to put their trash. And that's where he became a hoarder, because he would root through all of the fresh garbage.
It's not, no part of it is a good or happy story or legend. And what compounds it even further is, so part of the legend is, like, when you pass through the bridges for the train tracks, there is a single road after the one bridge, and that's the road that supposedly led to his house. Supposedly, after the house burnt down, he mentioned the circus freaks and stuff. Apparently, back in those woods, because of just the aura and the name, like, it had gathered, cult activities started taking place down that road into the woods around where that house had been located. So a lot of, like, these cars that people say, like, when they're passing by and feel like they're being watched, if there's still a cult activity going on, some people believe that the cultists don't live far, so if they see you investigating that area, their presence is constant as well. Right. Which that just furthers the negative energy and everything going on in this area. And everything's been tagged with graffiti, so it's not even, like, a well-kept area. The road is constantly falling apart. They redo it, it just gets left because it's not a popular road. You don't have a good story. You don't have happy people. And then you further just have people almost making a mockery of it and just keep adding to that negative energy.
Right. And like we said, Angola, it's one square mile, and all of this negativity in this one location, like, it's a hot spot, basically.
Yeah, and
Angola is beautiful.
Yeah, like, it's my favorite stop on the way to Buffalo.
Like, the views there, it's a very beautiful place. It's just all of this negative stuff happening there.
And it's definitely sad. And there's so much going on there that I don't doubt the phenomena people report there at all. Like you said, at this point, it is a hotspot for negative energy. Even if Derek's was never living there, you've still got the people from the train crash.
Right.
Add him on top of it and everything since then, and it's just, it's not a good place. This place has been recommended to visit a couple of times, but I have no interest in really going here. I really feel like there is nothing for us to check out.
I'd like to see the property and see the home cemetery graveyard in the back. That's the only thing that I'd be interested as far as this location. I'm reading through all this stuff as you guys were talking.
No, and
plus we like the Angola rest stop.
Yeah. It's, if we were to go there, I think it would be a lot. I feel like it would almost be like Gutelberg amped up because of all the extra that has been there. I feel like there would be tons of orbs, tons of sounds, and I feel like we would experience a lot of angry spirits that are mad about what has happened there, what has happened. Like, even if Derek's didn't die there, there's no idea where his body ended up, but his energy is there still about this tortured life that he had.
And if he was that protective of his property, then that's not going to change once he's deceased.
Yeah, and like the way his mind works, I could 100% believe the local legend of him just going to live in a shack in the woods, or him living in the ruins of his house.
Right.
I don't think Pigman ever left despite his house being burnt to the ground.
Right.
Especially if his son was killed there and possibly his daughters. And being a hoarder, I don't see him leaving the area. Which, post-fire, 100% could see people driving the road and stopping to rubberneck or look at it, and him coming out angry. Right. So I could see that being the basis for those legends until he did eventually pass, that he's coming out to your car and telling you to get the hell out. Especially if he didn't have, like you said, a problem being thought of as a psycho murderer.
Right.
To people, he's not.
If he realized, you know, I'm already ostracized. If I'm angry, people leave me alone. Like,
eventually you become the monster society thinks you are.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. So what would you expect to happen if we went there?
I agree. This is one location where all of the negativity almost makes Gutelberg seem like, you know, an almshouse kind of situation. Like, this is one road of just negative. And this road is probably about the size and length of Gutelberg.
Yeah.
Like, Gutelberg, we had, you know, unhappy spirits, but this was, you know, an unhappy life. And people having their lives tragically taken unexpectedly. So I feel like we'd see a lot of orbs, because we always see orbs. I feel like we would see quite a few black orbs there.
For sure.
And I don't think it would be a happier, calming place, even knowing, like I said, you know, Angola is a very beautiful and serene area. I don't feel like you would have serenity in this area.
No, even with it being a wooded area, I don't think you're going to feel any happy energy. Because again, like, all these souls have died, such a tragic existence there, and people come to gawk.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So, definitely, I gotta agree with Sean that it probably would have a lot of Gutelberg energy. Talking about that, thinking about the story of William and William Jr., I'm specifically trying to avoid continuing to refer to him as Pigman. Statistically speaking, William, if he was still alive today, would be in his 110s.
Mm-hmm.
So considering everything else that dealt with, he definitely passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he wasn't in the fire and people still saw him after that, he's definitely long since passed. But I imagine because of all that negativity, because of all that anger, especially losing at least his son, if not his twin daughters, like.
And even piggyback, that wasn't a joke. That wasn't a pun. Following off of what you said,
yeah.
He was a hoarder.
Yeah.
Nothing is more important to a hoarder than their hoard.
Yeah. So he was definitely going to stay.
Even if he didn't have attachments to his children,
he lost all of his stuff. Yeah. The one thing as I was reading through all of this, I was very interested was that when they went to investigate the house after First Missing Persons, was it during the First Missing Person?
I think so.
He wouldn't.
No, it was the first one, they found that the house, there were multiple people living there, not just,
yeah.
And his son was one of them. So it's like his son and him were two people, but they mentioned multiple, which means there's definitely more than the two of them. And if the story that was referenced in itself, that the twins went off to live with family of the mother, who else was living there?
Could have very easily been any of his, you know, circus troupe friends.
Exactly. And that kind of, it makes it seem like there's a lot more negative energy, especially anyone that knows anything about the history of circuses and sideshows and what they used to call freak shows. Like, not a happy thing.
No, if you don't, just watch the movie Freaks. Like,
yeah,
that'll give you all of the background information you need.
Yeah, completely serious. But that's kind of, I imagine that because they knew him because of that, like we even see after all that, like what were called gypsies that are now the Romani people, all these types of individuals who are outcast from society felt like they belonged there simply because it was someone else and they actually
community.
Yeah. And they had property.
Yeah.
So I imagine that, some of the sightings over the years and some of the weird things I think can not only be attributed to the negative energy and spirits that are there, but I would even argue people who are still outcast from society living in a place that they feel comfortable not wanting people around. That's what I'm thinking.
It'd be very easy to build, like a better term, like a shack town in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
A shanty town.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he could have very easily had more children.
We don't know. Because we also know he buried his wife without an official death record.
Yeah.
He may have
legally
had,
on the property.
Yeah, he may have had twins. We don't know for sure. Like, there's so much that was done under the table because of who he was and how he was treated. Like, we don't know how many kids he had. We don't know how many people lived on the property. We don't know that people still live in that area. Like, we know there's no houses, but that doesn't mean there's not people living there.
All right, and since it's not a well-traveled road, chances are likely if you see someone coming down there and like they're honking their horn 13 times,
you're gonna be angry.
So yeah, you're gonna come out and chase them off.
So like I said, I think energy-wise and orb-wise definitely will be similar to Gutelberg simply because of the tragedies in that area. But I would not be surprised to learn that there are still people who are considered freaks and outcasts in our modern society that still have some kind of living situation there. If we can still have indigenous tribes that have never been captured on photo, I would put money that there are still people who are former sideshow attraction people that are living
and their descendants
and no one knows about them because they simply live off the grid.
Not to talk down about intelligence or anything, but if you come from a family of inbreeding is normal to you.
Your family line may have died out officially, but you're still there.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like I said, I'll link the ebook in the thing. So if you're interested in learning more about it, you can read the whole article. But I don't think if you're interested in it, it's a place that you should travel to, especially if there are descendants and people still living there. Like, that's
their home,
and they're there for a reason.
It may be public property according to the state, but I say don't visit if you can. Like, just
if you want to drive through,
but don't honk your horn 13 times. You're just being a jerk.
Leave. We don't usually say it, but let sleeping ghosts lie. Like, just leave it. Don't go looking for stuff. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. Don't go exploring, but I think that does it for Delaware Road and the Angola Horror / Holland Road
/
Pigman Road / there's a lot here.
The roads of Buffalo.
The roads of Buffalo.
The Buffalo Roads. But thanks for checking in. Make sure to like and subscribe. But come back next time. We'll be investigating some more.
Thanks, guys.
Stay in the light.